The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, turn if you would to Hebrews 9. I'm going to share something tonight, and it's going to be rather brief. I'm going to share a brief word, and then we're going to have ministry time. This is in my Mass Deliverance series. I'm hoping to have a series of these. Unfortunately, last week's tape got erased, and that's one of my less enjoyable things when I find out a master gets erased. So we have a backup tonight. I was not faithful last Sunday to have a backup. And I'm hoping to have a series, a Mass Deliverance series, that we're going to put on our website and offer in different areas. So far in this series, we do have one tape, Mass Deliverance from the Spirit of Heaviness. And I felt the Holy Spirit quicken to me a verse this morning when I was reading in the one-year Bible. This year I'm reading again the Living Version, which is really not even it's not really a legitimate translation, but it's a thought translation. But I like to read it just to kind of as a broad stroke. And there was a revelation that came this morning in my reading that's been with me all day. I've been thinking about it. And during the worship, I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, where do you want us to go in the Word? Because I felt the Spirit said for this season to not prepare ahead of time. And this is a first. Some of y'all know, have been with me for years, I always come with sermons prepared. And He has spoken to me during these Mass Deliverance series to not come prepared to stay in the Word during the week, but that He will quicken to me in the night where to go. And tonight, the scripture He quickened to me was Hebrews 9:14. And I think it will lend itself to the Mass Deliverance. I really don't even have a title yet. The way I do it is I put the title at the end because I kind of see where the Spirit leads. How much more, Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now this is the good news. The good news is that our conscience, if you're born again, if you've come to Jesus and you've confessed your sin, and you've repented of your sin. You know, in Proverbs 28 it says, if we confess and forsake your sin, you shall not have mercy. It's kind of the balance to 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin. But it's not just enough to acknowledge the sin. Can you amen? You have to acknowledge it, take ownership of it, and then repent of it. Turn from it. Say to Jesus honestly, Lord, with all my heart and soul, I want to be free from that sin. I don't want that sin to have power over me. To, with your free will, to hate the sin. Okay? That's what it means to confess and forsake. There's many passages about repentance. Talks about the worldly repentance. And then there's God, 2 Corinthians 7, there's worldly sorrow and there's godly sorrow. Metanoia is godly sorrow. To worldly sorrow is to regret and to feel bad about because they think you got caught. But godly sorrow is to change your mind about. It's to literally turn the other way. And when we repent of sin, and the problem is, the enemy gets involved, and what the enemy's major deal of the enemy is to get you to not take ownership of your sin. That is his major, major deal. That's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, notice it says, our sin, amen? Sin, a lot of people are busy confessing other sins. If we confess other sins, but we have to take ownership of our sin, take responsibility for our failings. But Satan's greatest trick is to get us to blame, to judge, to indict, to pass the buck, as it were. And you see that right in the beginning, remember? Adam and Eve sinned. God came to Adam. Adam, where are you? What have you done? First thing he says, Eve. Eve is a woman's fault. So God went over the woman. What'd you do? Snake. She pointed to the snake. It was the snake's fault. Snake made me do it. So God went over the snake. And the snake was looking around. I'm sure he couldn't find anybody to blame. So God said, okay, snake. And he started to bring the curse upon the snake. But then he backed up and he went to the woman. And then he went to the mayor. And right from the garden, the tendency to blame has been there. Anybody here ever blame someone else for your problems? Come on. Okay, we're going to have mass deliverance of lying demons tonight. Lying spirits. We blame. We judge. Jesus very clearly said, Matthew 7, judge not, lest, for with whatever measure you mete out, it's going to come back. Another place he said, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, what? You're going to reap. It's a principle, a divine principle of the kingdom of God. That what you give out comes back to you. Now, it's interesting. I was thinking, everybody likes that verse. You know, you give and God gives unto you good measure, shaken down, pressed together and running over. We like that sowing and lots of reaping when we talk about money or giving. But how about consequence for bad deeds? Give out and it's going to come back to you, good measure, pressed, and it can be true. Sometimes we can sow iniquity and reap demonization. Hello? We can sow sin and reap far greater consequence. Because usually because of the heart. And I really think the whole issue, quite frankly, is the heart. Or the conscience. See, our conscience, what the conscience is, in fact, let me take you to Romans chapter 2, verse 15. What the conscience is God's megaphone in your soul. The conscience is the place where you hear God's voice. You know, people say, well, I just don't hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, you don't? Go down to the drugstore, slip you one of those payday candy bars in your pocket and start walking to the door. Guess what? You'll hear the voice of the Lord. You know what I mean? I mean, all heaven's going to come on to you. What are you doing? You're breaking the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Now, don't do what I just said. My point is, God is always there with his voice, his conviction. But what is he speaking through? Your conscience. See, the conscience, in some ways, even fallen man who doesn't know God, believe it or not, the law is written in his heart. It is a proven fact that they've gone to aboriginal communities and civilizations, gatherings of peoples that have had no contact with anyone else. And they found that in those unique, totally separate cultures, there are certain rules that are understood. They are: murder is wrong, lying is wrong, stealing is wrong. Do you understand? In other words, it's just fundamentally, because of creating the nature of God, the Ten Commandments somehow is evident in the very fabric of the culture. So that's why he says here in Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, having not the law, are laws unto themselves, which show the work of the law, look, verse 15, written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing, excuse. See, the law is written in the heart of man, created in the image of God, even fallen man. Now the problem is, when you're not saved, when you're not born again, when you allow the conscience to be your guide, it'll beat you to pieces. You know what I mean? The conscience has its own plan of salvation. You know what the plan of salvation of the conscience is? Do everything perfect all the time, and I won't bug you. See, that's exactly what the law is. Do you know that? The law of the Old Testament is, you shall obey every ordinance of the law. If you offend one ordinance, you offend them all. That's exactly what the conscience, because the law is written on the conscience heart, the conscience of man. And, you know, when you follow the conscience, it is, that's why it says, meanwhile, accusing or excusing. See then? Accusing or excusing, it'll accuse you. If you do bad, it'll excuse you. It's always straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. It's the work of the law written in the heart was never God's intention to bring man to salvation, any more than the law was the way God meant for man to bring salvation. The law was meant to show people their fallenness so that they need a sacrifice. So it is the law written in the conscience. But let's go back and remember, what did it say in Hebrews 9? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience from what? To serve the living God. Now this is good news. I mean, this is incredible news. If you can get the fact that Jesus' blood is to wash your conscience clean, and you don't have to live under a guilty conscience anymore. You're free from the tyranny of conscience. Your conscience can be a tyrant. I know. I was brought up Catholic. How many were brought up Catholic? Y'all bear with me on that? When you're brought up in a legalist, or maybe an illegalist church, like very legalist assemblies or Pentecostals, or I don't mean to be picking on denominations tonight. I'm talking about when you're brought up in a very legalist environment. You know? That if you do certain things, God will be pleased with you. If you don't do anything, God, if you do certain things, God won't be pleased with you. Well, what it is, you're really living under the tyranny of your conscience. And I remember being tormented at night. I remember literally as a kid, couldn't sleep for fear of God's wrath because of the condemnation of my conscience. Now, I'll grant you, it kept me on the straight and narrow. I've always said better to live under that than to live with no parameters, praise God. Because God can always kind of, you know, grant you grace. For people that have no parameters growing up, it's real hard to corral them, you know. He says, be ye not as the horse or the mule, right? Now, the mule is stubborn, but the horse is wild. How many mules we got here tonight? Yeah? Stubborn. But how many horses? Now, let me tell you, the mule, you know how God gets a mule moving? Holy Ghost 2x4 across the snout. You know how he gets a horse? He has to go corral that thing, sit on it, break it. So the good news tonight is God purges your conscience from dead works. Now, here's the thing. I believe when you're born again, Christ comes, and I don't understand how all this works, where it is, how it is, heart, soul, spirit, conscience. I'm not going to be dogmatic about what is what. I just know this. When you're born again, Jesus wants to speak through your conscience. Okay? But it's a conscience tempered with grace and mercy. But he still speaks through the conscience. You understand? But it's the voice of Jesus in your conscience now. It's the voice of mercy and grace. No longer you tyrannize. I remember in my early years as a Christian being absolutely in terror for sin in my life. Terrorized by certain sins. And I had to, in spite of all the scriptures, I just felt like I had to kind of earn back his good graces. Had to kind of be good for a while, and then God said, okay, and I'd be back in his good graces. To anybody else out there like that? Come on. You blow it. You've been bad. And so you got to serve your time, as it were, you know. And you know what? Over the years, the Lord has shown me that is nothing but pure D, 100% unadulterated pride. That's all it is. This is pride. And the truth is, if you think there's anything you can do to get back in God's good graces, you're full of pride. Do you know what I mean? Because there's nothing we can do. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul said, I know that in me that is my soul dwells. No good thing. There's nothing we can do to get back in God's good graces. There's nothing you can do. Because all of our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Psalm 39 says, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity in the eyes of the Lord. There's nothing you can do. And you know, I take some Christians half their life, three quarters of their life, their entire life, on their deathbed. They finally go, oh, I get it. Am I? Grace. That's what grace is. You can't do it yourself. And that was Martha's problem. That's one of the reasons so many people are anxious and troubled about so many things, and fretting and worried and yelling at God and yelling at other people and ask God to fix those other people. Won't you see my sisters like me to serve alone? Make her help me. You know, commanding God. I mean, that wasn't a cool place where Martha was. Anxious, troubled about many things. because she still thought that she had to earn his approval. And probably because she had a mom and dad that she had to earn their approval. Most people, the reason they have this thing with God like that is because they had a mom and dad that offered them conditional love. How many of y'all grew up under that? A mom and dad, or a mom or a dad, somebody, that if you were bad, they cursed you. Or they said, you'll never achieve, you'll never be anything. I knew it. You ought to be like so-and-so down the street. You know, you're no good. Come on, how many of you? And so you begin to believe that stuff. You begin to take it in because your authority is speaking curses over you. I can't tell you how many times in ministry sessions with people, I've had the privilege as, you know, a brother in Christ, if they're not under my tutelage as a pastor or a pastor, to lay hands on them. But particularly it works when I'm over them in the Lord as a pastor. Because I believe as a pastor, I have a special authority to circumvent the curse of their mom and dad and to break it and to speak a blessing over their life. And I've seen that. I've had instances of people come up and you can see they're just tormented and there's all these layers of self-hate and self-rejection and doubt and confusion, whatever, you know, mess from years and years and years of mental abuse. And we can lay hands, and when you're in spiritual authority, you can lay hands on them, and in the name of the Lord, you can break those curses off of them and undo them, reverse the curse, and speak a blessing. And then ask the Holy Spirit to begin to work a blessing down on the side of this one. It's not an instant thing all the time, but it begins the process of unwinding the wound, unwinding the deception, of being a loser. And this is why people see God that way, like Martha, you know. Whereas for some reason, Martha and Mary were sisters, Mary wasn't that way. You know, you can have siblings turn out significantly different. Can I have an amen? I'm a perfect case. My older brother's a Hare Krishna. I'm significantly different from that. Praise the Lord. And I'm sorry for him. But you can have siblings. And for some reason, Mary sat at his feet. She didn't have any agenda to fix her sister. She just loved the Lord, was quiet, peaceful. And as a result, she got that marvelous revelation. And she was the one that anointed his body for the burial. So, tonight, we're going to pray in just a minute, cleansing the conscience and dealing with the spirits. See, Satan, what he does is when this truth is not clear in your mind, when grace is not clear, you know, when you're still kind of thinking that you have to earn, you have to somehow get back in God's good graces by being good, well, folks, you're just going to stay bound because you're never going to be good enough for God. You know, Jesus even said to the Pharisees, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you can't enter. Remember that? Matthew 5. So what did he mean by that? Because those poor people, they looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the ultimate example of righteousness. I mean, they would tell everybody how righteous they were. You know, they wore these flowing robes. They'd blow trumpets. Now, we're righteous. Jesus said, you got more righteousness than them to get into heaven. I mean, can you imagine people go, I mean, that's right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, some people say, oh, I love the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, there's some hard things in there. You think about some of the things he said. And people go, they probably came in and said, Master, what are you saying? How do we have more righteousness than them? You know, the only way is you got to have his righteousness. By acknowledging you have no righteousness. And you're all your righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. And he needs to clothe us with his righteousness, which definitely is greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So God wants to deliver us from the tyranny of a badgering conscience, of a conscience that beats you up because of the way you've been. And Satan's, one of his greatest weapons is guilt and shame. Amen? Condemnation, accusation. What else? Put you down? Make you feel bad about the way you've been? You know that the so a lot of people, they live in this low-grade guilt, like a low-grade human, just low-grade. They just always feel just kind of dirty, just kind of unworthy, you know? They just kind of live that way. Get up in the morning, and they don't come boldly to the throne of grace. They kind of just kind of come in and stick their head to the door. Hey, Father, and stick their head back. That's as far as I'm allowed to go today because I've been a scum. I'm not worthy, you know? Some of us have memorized that verse of that centurion. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy to come into thy house. And that's the main verse we believe. No, come on. We are privileged to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Can you imagine if you're a parent, your child absolutely fearful to ever come into your presence and ask for anything? Just feeling so unworthy and, you know, just kind of drag yourself in and just feel just groveling before you, you know, and all they want is, you know, just supper, you know. You know, and just beating themselves up for... I mean, you go... You would say, get a life, man. I love you. What is your problem? You know? And yet, how many people are like that with the Lord? You know, and the Lord's saying, look, I've dealt with that sin stuff. The sin issue has been dealt with. Did you know that? The sin has been dealt... The sin problem is gone. There is no more issue of sin. Sin is dealt with. The sin issue has been dealt with. That's what he said. It is finished. It's done. Sin is not even to be an issue. That's what I was trying to share. Remember the other day at our Koinonia group, I was expounding on that verse in 1 John. It says, for he that has that seed in him does not commit sin. Does not sin. You go, what does that mean? Well, obviously it doesn't mean he never sins, because in that same epistle, in 1 John 2, he says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Right? But the very next chapter says, but he that has that seed in it does not commit sin. Now, what's he talking about? I think what he does, a lot of interpretations, but I think one of the things he's saying is this new creation, sin is not even the issue. We have a new creation. We don't ever have to sin. It's as if we can't sin. The only way you can sin is you got to step out of what you are into something you're not. That's it. You have to literally turn your back on a reality and step into the twilight zone to sin. That's how assured our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? And the lying, the devil gives us these lies of, well, everybody sins, and you just can't help it. I mean, it's all lies. None of that's the word. The word is you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. You don't ever have to walk in unrighteousness. You're called into holiness to be like unto him. Amen? Lord, I pray tonight that this word I'm sharing would be swords to cut the lies of the demons, Father, to break the back of the spirits that seduce us, that beguile us, that deceive us, that bind us up in guilt and shame and condemnation and accusation, Lord. For he is the accuser of the brethren that accuses us day and night. But I thank you, Lord, that we overcome him by how, folks? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what he said back there in Hebrews 9. That how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? Amen? Is this clear? Praise the Lord. Now, this tape will not get erased. The enemy doesn't like these tapes. I got a backup. Because this is freeing stuff. Amen? Because some of us, we go around all week like a puppy dog with the tail between our legs, beating ourselves up. We're not worthy. And but the good news is you're forgiven. And you need to forgive yourself. In fact, I want you to start by doing that right now. Say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive myself. I choose to release myself. I choose to let go any judgmentalisms, any trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to improve, because the truth is, Jesus, I utterly fail. And the few times I succeed, I often get proud about it. So have mercy on me, Jesus. You're my salvation. You're the one that changes. You are the glory. You get the glory. I throw myself at your feet. The only thing I can do in life is to press into you, Jesus, to call on your name, for you are Lord. You know, I want to tell you something that's real. I always remember this. In Revelations 4, the glorious picture of the end times, and there's God sitting on the throne, the rainbow-colored throne, you know? And they have the 24 elders. Now, I don't know who these guys are. You know, James and John wanted to be two of them. Remember that? Remember? Lord, they even got their mother involved. Lord, let us sit on thy right hand and on thy left. And the Lord said, no, that's for whom it's prepared. Now, I don't know who those 24 are. They're probably the least person we expect, right? Whoever they are. But they are the 24 penultimate saints of God walking in such broken humility. They get to see. Remember, he that dwells in the secret on high and holy place, Isaiah 57 says, I dwell in here with him that's of a meek and contrite heart. But what's so fine is when they see the lion, you know what they do? It says they take the crowns and what? They throw them at his feet. They throw the crowns at the lamb's feet. You know what that says to me? They recognize that that crown, that reward they have of eternity, it's totally him that did it. Totally him. He's the reason I have this crown. There's nothing to boast of. Remember he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. We were saved by grace. We're sanctified by grace. We'll be glory. It's all grace. And we'll throw our crowns at his feet. He will get the glory. And that's our whole life, is to break that lie of the demons, that somehow we have to be good enough. Because the only way you're going to ever get out of the sin trap and trip is to recognize you're stuck in it forever. And you need somebody to pull you out. You understand that you are never going to get out of it apart from Jesus. Quit trying. Quit trying to overcome sin. Now that sounds blasphemous. But quit trying to overcome bad attitudes. Quit trying to fix yourself. Quit trying to improve. Throw your self-improvement books away. It's almost like occult books. Amen? Just learn to get close to Jesus. Press into Jesus. Love Jesus. Spend time worshiping Jesus. Forget about yourself. Forget, unless you think about yourself, before you think about Jesus, when you finally do look at yourself, you notice you're doing a whole lot better. Amen? Because you've denied yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. We're now going to have some mass deliverance. Now, some of y'all may be new. I don't know. I have never been through mass deliverance, and there may be people listening to this tape. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, as you're listening to this, well, wait a minute, I'm a born-again believer. I don't have demons. Well, I'll agree with you on one point. I don't think any born-again believer can be possessed by a demon. I agree. You cannot be possessed. Possessed implies total ownership. No, because we're bought with a price. We're not our own. Amen? But I think our soul, which is our emotions and our mind, we can certainly be infested with demons and demon eyes. Just like termites can be in the wood of a house. We can have demons caught up in our emotions and our soul, even in our body. But it doesn't mean they're in your spirit. Doesn't mean they own you. Doesn't mean you're possessed. But it means you can be infested, and they have to be cast out. Have to be thrust out and resisted. Submit yourself to God. The Bible says, what? Resist the devil and he'll flee. He only flees when you resist him. In fact, in Mark 16, which says, they shall cast out demons. The word in cast out is the word ekbalo, which means to thrust out violently. That's the way they leave. They only leave when they're convinced they're no longer wanted. Have you ever had a relative staying at your house, and you really wanted them to go, but you were too nice to tell them to hit the door? Hello? You would tell your spouse how much you wanted to go. But when they came around, you were just nice. Or have you had, you know what I'm talking about. Only maybe your kids, when you were a kid, you had a friend that always tagged around. And you didn't, it drive you nuts, but you were too nice. Well, you know, that's how we are with demons. Well, we're not nice, but we never really just tell them, go. In Jesus' name, no, go. Amen? You have to draw the line and say, no, go. And we say that around here. There's only two words you ever need to say to a demon. No, go. So, I'm going to begin to take authority tonight and command spirits to loose your soul. I'm just going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit and just discernment, begin to command them to come out. And I'm going to address them to come out. When I do this a lot of times, I'll see things in the spirit, and I'm just praying kind of what I'm seeing. See things on people and stuff. But I don't like to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to do that. Trust me, I'm not going to in any way embarrass anybody. Particularly like I did. Mass Deliverance, sure he knows, up in Oklahoma, in the sexual area, with a room full of middle-aged women. Lord. But I was very careful to keep it generic, so nobody was embarrassed. But I've addressed all these curses and these generational bondages and these things come in from particular behaviors that occurred during puberty and the consequences of abortions, consequences of sexual abuse and this kind of stuff. And commanded those things, and God really moved. So all you need to do to receive deliverance when I do this is you simply agree. Isn't there a verse that says if two of you on earth shall what? Agree. You just agree. You say, I agree. Yes. I agree to that. And you resist. You agree and you resist. Say no. Now, as I pray this, you will experience phenomena to the degree that you believe, to the degree that you're open, to the degree that you're humble, you will experience phenomena. Usually do. Sometimes you don't, but usually some phenomena. You may feel certain spirits that are in your body begin to leave. You may feel things moving around. You may sense something that's weighing on you, heavy, lifting off. You may find yourself wanting to yawn. That's the way spirits leave. Like through yawning or coughing. Or just kind of a weight lifting off. You know, I don't know. It doesn't matter how they leave. Just as long as they go.
Amen?
And ushers may need to be available. They may have tissue in case you want to, they come out and phlegm or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just get them out in the name of the Lord. If you need anything like that, raise your hand. The usher will give you some paper. We want to cleanse the house of the enemy. Now, I don't understand a lot of this. I've been in this thing since 1983 and ministered to many, many folks and in mass deliverance. And I still don't have a clue what this really is. Except it's what Jesus did and it works. You understand? And I don't really care. It's just a matter of getting these things out. I do know that sometimes they come out all kinds of phenomena. We had, I remember I cast a demon out of a lady one time and I was in a room. And do you know when the demon came out, the lights dimmed. And then they flickered and they went back. Now, I don't know what that demon did, but it affected the lights. I could tell you more strangers. I cast this demon out of a guy once, a cult demon, and it hailed out of a blue sky. I am not kidding you. Hailstones. I looked out the window. It was sunshine. Hail was hitting, and a cloud had gone over. I believe that particular demon and that guy was tied to the principality, and there was some mad spirit when I cast that one out. You say, well, that's kind of weird. Well, that's what the disciples did. They cast out demons and said, Master, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. Christ said, I know. I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you, in 18 years of doing this, I've only seen phenomena like that three or four times. You understand? That's not a regular occurrence. Like the time the snake fell on my driveway. Just boom, big old snake sitting there because I was casting a demon out. And when you get into this realm of casting out demons, you get into, you're crossing over into the spirit world. And when you get over there, what's the word? I was going to say that thing Rod Serling used to say about the Twilight Zone. You've entered another dimension, you know. You really do. You're a dimension, not a sight or sound. But, I mean, it is really another dimension. It is a dimension where you experience your authority in Jesus Christ such as you never have. The authority we have to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen? The reason most people don't do that is they get in that realm and they exercise that authority, then later on the devil comes and beats them to pieces and they don't ever go near there again. You understand? So you got to strap on your armor. If you start casting demons out, you got to be ready for retaliation. Can I hear that? You mean there's going to be a war? You mean he's going to kick me back? Yeah. Amen? You never get bored. I've never been bored in the spirit since I started this. I've had every other emotion, but I've never been born. Praise God. Well, Lord, I thank you for these saints, and I pray that you would come right now by the power of the Holy Ghost and set the captives free. I pray you just quicken to me where to go on this list. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Set the captives free tonight, Lord. Amen. Let's see, column structure. In the name of Jesus, I take authority tonight over every spirit that has been ministering to the minds and hearts of these people, ministering guilt, ministering shame and condemnation and accusation. Every spirit that has been bringing their sin back to them and throwing it in their face. Every spirit that has been bringing back their failures, their defeats. Every spirit that keeps badgering them that they got to be better, they got to improve, or God's upset, or God's mad. Say this after me, people. Satan, you're a liar. I'm not going to listen to you no more. None of that's from the Holy Ghost. If I confess my sins, God's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I command you, condemning, judging spirit, to get behind me tonight, to leave me in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on out in Jesus' name. I command you to come. I command the spirits to come. I take your power tonight in Jesus' name. I take that mind control spirit. I take that spirit now. I command you to go, snakes. Come on, you foul sick snakes. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Let them out. Thrust them out, folks. Thrust them out. Come on. All the guilt, all the shame, condemnation, accusation, badgering spirits, striving. I take your power tonight in this room. Striving. Striving to be better. Striving to be good. Come on. Come on. Come on, you lying spirits. I take your power. Come out of the imagination in Jesus' name. Come out of the memory banks in the name of the Lord. Come on in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I take your power. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, striving, struggling, trying, beating yourself up, not good enough. God's mad at me. God's not happy with me. I've got to do stuff to make God happy with me. Come on, I break your power. Come on. Come on, you lying spirit, you legalistic spirit. Legalism, legalism. I break the power of legalism tonight in Jesus' name. Comparing yourself to self-imposed standards. Roll them up to them and break your power. Come on, come on. Looking at some kind of standard, trying to attain under some kind of standard, trying to be like somebody else, trying to attain under some free. Come on, I break your power. Jesus said the spirit is like the wind. It blows whither it would. I break your power of those snakes in Jesus' name. All that legalistic spirits, I break you in Jesus' name. Off the emotions. Come on in Jesus' name. Out of the emotions. Take a deep breath. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. I see in the spirit a number of people here. You have like a shackle around your mind, and it's got one of those like a bicycle lock thing. It's locked. Your brain is locked in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to send your angels and just unhook that thing right now and loose that lock over the brain that's got the brain, the demon's got their brain locked down into patterns of self-defeated thoughts, into patterns of self-condemning thoughts. I break that lock in Jesus' name. I smash that band. Take his power right now in Jesus' name. I command you to go. Father, I ask you to send angels right now, laser beams, and just burn and melt away the metal of that thing. Take his power in Jesus. Come on. Come on, bands around the mind. I take your power. Come on. I command you to go. Legalistic, condemning bands. I take it. Go. I command you to go tonight in Jesus' name. Come on. Take a deep breath. Thrust them out, folks. Thrust them out. Let the demons out. Let them out. Tell them go. Go. In the name of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. Tell them go. Get mad at the devil. Satan, go. Loose these captives. I command you to loose them. Loose the captives tonight. Loose them and set them free. Hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name. Bula makita la makonde dima. Striving. Struggling. Envy, envying others, wishing you were like others, always comparing yourself to others, wishing that wondering why God didn't make you like someone else, not satisfied with who you are, fantasizing about you as being someone else, not liking yourself. Come on, let it go in Jesus' name. I've got to break the power of all these unclean spirits. I break that. Take your power. Command you to let these saints go. Come on. Name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Thrust them out. Thrust them out. Ola masitama. Ola makitana masita. All those guilty feelings. Lord, I ask you to send right now the Spirit of the Lord into the conscience of every person here. Come, Spirit of God, into the conscience realm. Father, you said in the Word, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge our conscience? I pray right now you just swab our conscience with the blood of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord. Our conscience is clear, not because we've been good, but because Jesus was good. And Jesus died, and he paid the penalty. And in him we are good. In him we are good. We can be good. And when we're not good, we can be forgiven, and the blood cleanses us. Therefore, Satan, I break your power, and you get thee behind us in Jesus' name. We overcame the accuser of our brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We beat the power of those accusing spirits, condemning spirits. I command you to come out of the conscience realm in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send angels right now and pry them out of the realm of the conscience in Jesus' name. Pull them off the walls, Lord. Unhook their talons, Lord, from where it's dug into the scalp. I beat the power of those spirits now in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on, you spider spirits, the tarantula spirits. I break you in Jesus' name. Get off in Jesus' name. I beat your power. You sucker spirits, leech spirits, I pick you out of that conscience realm in the name of God. Come on, everybody, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let them out. Let them out. Come on, all the way from the depth. Let them out tonight in Jesus' name. The good news is you're forgiven. The good news is his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. The good news is you don't have to look back. You can forget the things that are behind and press to the mark, to the prize, the things that are coming. Get out of man. The good news is we can press to Jesus. We don't have to live with anything, even if it was 3 seconds ago. It's under the blood. It's as if it never had justification, just as if I never sinned. You're forgiven. You need to learn to forgive yourself and stand firm on the truth that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ is one thing that demons absolutely are terrified about. And I've been privileged, and many here have, been in deliverance sessions where you have a manifesting demon screaming and cursing and whining and griping, and you just begin to sing about the blood. And it's wonderful. Those things, just it's almost like you're pouring fire on them. They hate it. They hate the blood. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is the thing that they know. It was at the cross. It was all of their weaponry. They were disarmed. They were disarmed. And the only way they win now is they deceive God's people. People believe lies. They buy the lies of the devil, the prince of lies. And they don't stand on the truth of the reality of the blood of Jesus. And they're conned. They're deceived. The snake deceives us today just like he did Eve. The good news is we have authority in Jesus' name. Ola masita dama. Come on, self-criticizing, self-judging, always beating yourself up, always looking at what you did and being critical. Here he is. Always putting yourself down to others. Always saying belittling things about yourself. Always saying, well, I'm a nobody. I can't this and I can't that. Come on. Every lie, every dynamic of the spirit that's deception, I beat the power of those things over our minds in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. All those lies, those demonic things that just cause us to be caught up in ourselves and self-focused. I keep hearing in the spirit too this thing about comparing yourself to others, looking at others and trying to be like others and wishing you're like others and kind of upset that you're not like others and not at peace. Come on, let that go. And envious, that's what it is. It's an envy. It's a spirit of jealousy and envy. And it's tied into this thing. And Jesus, if that's you, just say, Lord, I don't want that man. I don't want to... You made me. Look, God made you exactly the way he wanted. Don't you know that? You are a marvelous creation. You may not like you, but God knew before the creation formed. He knew exactly who you were and how you were, and he's made you to his glory. And you will never, ever come into all that God has for you until you in all things give thanks. You need to begin to give thanks to Jesus for the way he's made you. You may not like certain attributes of your body. You may not like certain attributes of the way you act and behave in your soul. You just begin to give thanks. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way you made me. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a precious creation. Thank you, Jesus. There's no one in the universe like me. Thank you. I can reflect a facet of the glory of God that no other being on this planet or in the universe can. Thank you that my life can reflect a facet of your glory, like a one facet of a diamond that can shine through me like no one else from before, or like there's no snowflakes exactly the same. And I thank you for the way you've made me. Now, Satan, we break your power, the lying critic, having to compare myself to others and envying. We go, that jealous spirit, tell it to go in Jesus' name. God has made you a wonderful creation. Believe it, accept it, receive it. Thank the Lord for the way you are. The more you press into Jesus, you know the irony is, the more you forget about yourself and press into Jesus, the more you become who you are. The more you lose your life is the more you find it. The more you forget about your life and get all involved in somebody else, lo and behold, you God, you see who you are. As long as you're looking at yourself, you'll never get anywhere. We've got to deny ourselves and press into Jesus. Jesus. Y'all take a deep breath. Y'all receiving deliverance tonight? Hallelujah. I like doing this. It kicked me all week long. I get my few minutes to kick back. Hallelujah. I go through hell, cast a few of them down there in my few moments. This is always a warfare. Lord, why didn't you put me in something like evangelism or prosperity, Lord? But no, you got to put me in deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Massive crowds. Tens of thousands of people turn out. Yes. Mass deliverance at the Colosseum tonight. 14 people show up. 10 of them are the guards you hired. The other is my wife, my two kids, and Bo. And I'm kidding. No, it's people don't like this. You know why? People don't come for this because they're run by demons. They're controlled by demons. Demons will keep someone from ever coming to a meeting like this. Can it amen? We've heard of people getting off the freeway, driving by the church, and going, "Oh my God!" Turn around, and go home. They see the church and they freak out. Something in them freaks out. Hello. And I'm glad of that. I don't know what this thing looks like in the spirit world. This place, I don't have a clue, but it's scary to demons. You know, it's scary. There must be some fire burning out of this place, in this church, because it scares the demons. I mean, it just freaks them out. They fly around it. I don't know. They just kind of burn. And that's okay. That's okay, because those that can make it through get free. And God's going to set you free. Do you understand? Because you know what? I'm not doing anything Jesus didn't do. Jesus cast out demons. In fact, I found a verse the other day. He said, "You go tell Herod I cast out demons." That's what he said. He was proud of it. He just, "I cast out demons." Basically, the implication was, I don't run from them. When I was saying run from Herod. He says, "And if I cast out demons," he said, "no, the kingdom of heaven is here right now." That's what he said. And those are uncomfortable words to a lot of people, but it's the truth. Lord, I thank you that it is your business and your desire to set the captives free, to open the prison doors to them that are bound. Father, many of us have been bound up and wound up, Lord, inside of ourselves from the lying deceptions of guilt and shame. In the name of Jesus, I come against shame tonight. I come against deep shame. I come against not liking yourself. I come against the fear of exposure. The fear of exposure, the hidden. I come against the demons that are hidden, like covered up, like a shadow, areas of darkness that you're scared to death anybody would ever find out. The Bible says, confess your faults one another, pray for one for another, that you may be healed. God wants, he said, he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. But he that does evil, hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. God wants to take that old scab off, and he wants that thing to be open so the Holy Spirit can go in and heal it to the roots. Some of us have got with splinters buried. You know, if you let a splinter get buried way down inside of you, you know, all that thing's ever going to do is fester, a splinter. If you got to go in there and get it out, people say, "Well, that's too painful, man. You got to cut your eye. It's going to be painful." But once you get it out, it heals for good. But people don't want to go through that. They don't want to go through the pain of digging down and getting that splinter. So they leave it and they just keep festering for all their life long. It's the same thing. The splinter is the demon. The splinter is the sin. The splinter is the shame. The splinter is some area you've never told anybody about. You know, and God forgives you. But sometimes if it's causing festering, you need to bring it out. Maybe in a deliverance session. Been in many sessions with folks. A deliverance session where it's... you know, they'll finally, because they're in an environment of unconditional love and acceptance, and they know they're loved, they can finally get out this thing they did. They've never told a soul. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone tell me, "I've never told anybody," and they share this thing. And to them, it's the most horrible thing, the most incredibly wicked thing they can't imagine anyone doing. It's like in their head, like a big old elephant. But when they share it, it runs out like a mouse. It's in their head like a giant mountain. When they share it, it comes out like a molehill. Invariably, it's not that big a deal. See, Satan just magnifies it and accuses and beats you up. And you think, "Oh, hi," a guy will say, "Oh, he was just trembling." He says, I'll confess. I said, "What is it?" He said, "I masturbated." I went, "Oh my God, you did?" I did that. That was so cruel. And I laughed. Because this guy thought it was the end of the world. I was going to hell. And I laughed. I said, and at first I was going, he went, oh, just, it was exactly what he expected. I would be horrified. And then, you know, I laughed, and he started laughing. I said, you need to laugh at yourself. Can you hear me, man? You need to give yourself a break. Can you hear me? Give yourself a break. Come on. The blood of Jesus forgives us. The devil had been like he was the only person that did anything like that. Come on, man. You know, as long as you're trapped under some belief that you're the only one, you'll keep doing it because you just give up into hopelessness and helplessness. Demons says, well, you might as well wallow in your sin. God's no fun. You know. Can't hang around him. Might enjoy some pleasures for a season, but you know when you finally can get that thing out and see that you're loved and nothing is unforgivable, everything is merciful. God will forgive you for every sin. The only sin the Bible says He won't forgive you for, you know, interesting enough, it's accusing someone that casts out demons that he did it by the prince of the devil. Eh? That's the context. The only sin God won't forgive you for is someone that casts out devils saying he's doing it by the prince of devils. So don't let that thought go into your mind tonight about me. He casteth out demons by Beelzebub. If that comes in your brain, say, no. That's the unforgivable one. Can I not? But other than that one, now God, you say, that's strange. Well, that's what it says in the Word three times. Jesus doesn't like you messing with his Holy Ghost. He doesn't want you accusing the Holy Ghost as being from the devil. But if you have an open heart, God can forgive you for anything. So, Father, I pray tonight that if there's any of those splinters down there in people's souls, Lord, any of those deep buried things that they're just so ashamed, so scared that it would be exposed, Lord, I pray, first of all, you would lead them to an environment where they can get it out of unconditional love. Because you said whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. That someone, a brother or sister in Christ, can release them and break the curse of that condemnation and set the captives free, Lord. Pull that old splinter out, and then the demons have nothing else to work on them about. You said give no place to the devil, and every spot would leave. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. I pray, Lord, that you administer hope. Hope to those that are captive. Hope to the prison bound in Jesus' name. Now I speak right now to the demon. Because I know every place of shame there's a demon. And he's assigned over that like a little sentry, like a little guard to make sure nobody ever disturbs the ground of his ownership. Well, we bind you tonight. I take authority over you and I loose you, spirit, from the torment over these people's minds. I loose you from the torment of shame, the torment of you've done this horrible thing and you'll be rejected and God forbid anybody should know. I beat the power of that spirit. I command you to go and I bind you. That's the spirit that's possibly kept people from bringing it to the light and getting free. And I loose you. I loose you from your assignment. Now go. Go. Father, in your mercy, send the Holy Spirit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Let the spirit of Jesus flow all the way down, Lord, and let you, and the mercy and the love of Jesus to go down to the depths of the being of each one's soul. Lord, I pray, and you would reach out your nail-scarred hand, and you'd grab a hold of that door, and you'd open that door, Lord Jesus, and you'd reach in and pull the captive out into the light, the blinding light of your glory, and heal the wounds. Come, Holy Spirit, tonight. All the curses, all those bondages and curses having to do with the conscience, having to do with the guilt and the shame and the accusation tonight. Come on, take a deep breath. Be done with it in Jesus' name. Let it go. Let it go. Along this line, I come against that particular, the spirit of pride. It's that haughty, particularly in the area that you somehow believe that you are good enough or you can achieve holier than thou. Or, by the way, a real thing that exposes the bondage of pride in the area of guilt is judgmentalism. Because the very fact when you judge someone or listen to judgmental thoughts, you're inferring that you're better than them. Can you amen? Because as soon as you allow judgmental thoughts, you're something in you is saying, well, thank God I'm not like them. I thank God I'm not like other men are. You know what I'm saying? It's a Pharisee spirit. And what when you know you're healed is the first thought comes to your mind is, oh, Jesus, have mercy there, but for the grace of God, go I. Can you amen? That's when you know you're delivered. And somebody walks by, and there is no judgment. It says, oh, Jesus, have mercy on him. I could be in the same place. But they see what I'm saying? That's when you heal. But when an attitude comes up, when particularly God sends certain people in your life, and there'll be certain people in your life, there's no problem having mercy. You know, you go, oh, Lord, bless them, you know, have mercy. But then a certain individual's in your life, and there's this thing in you. How can they? Whoa. See, people are mirrors, and God put that person in your life to show you. Well, that's a bit of pride. And that's the area you're blind. See, because there's pride. You're blind, and God resists what? The proud. And there's no light coming to you there, and there's deception and demonization. And in that very area, by the way, everybody else sees it but you, you know. Everybody else sees those blind areas but you. That's where you need to humble yourself and say, Jesus, thank you and for that person. And begin to bless those that curse you. And pray for those that you've judged and bless them. And amen? And lay that judgment down, because God's going to let it come back on you. And it may take years. He'll let it all heap back on you until finally you cry out, and then he'll deliver you. And you can really alleviate the process. You can really short-circuit the process, I promise you. Amen? How do you want to short-circuit it? You can short-circuit the process of the sowing and reaping. It's real easy. Just say, Lord, let me fall on the rock and let me break. Amen? Break me, Jesus. Say that with me. Break me, Jesus. Take out the holy take out the holy hammer, lift it into the sky, and let it fall on me in Jesus' name. You meant that? Did you mean that just now? Now let me tell you, that's far preferable to the other thing, because if you don't fall on the rock and break, you know what it says? The rock will what? Fall on you and grind you to a powder. I'll take breaking any day over grinding. Hallelujah. Jesus, yes, I sense the Spirit lifting now. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Receive right now. Receive in the Spirit. Close your eyes and receive. God wants to pour in the living water on you. God wants that water to seek its own level. Every crack and crevice where the demons have vacated, I speak light tonight. I speak the glory of the Lord. I speak living waters to spring forth in the Spirit now in Jesus' name. Father, you said out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. We call forth the waters now in Jesus' name. We call forth the depths of waters out of our bellies, out of the reservoir of our spirit where Jesus lives. I call forth the waters now in the name of the Lord to flow into every place where the enemy inhabited. Lord, I pray that you would, by renewing of the mind, transforming of the mind, Lord, renewing of our mind, Lord, do we not be conformed to this world, but transformed in the image, Lord Jesus, in our very souls. Lord, I pray that you would renew our thoughts, Lord. You would heal our thoughts, Lord. You would wash our minds clean with the water of the Word. Lord, you would wash us clean and make things right. And Lord, you would deliver us from the tyranny of legalism and grant us the revelation of grace tonight. Lord, we would have grace. We would know the grace of God upon us. We would have grace upon ourselves. We would bestow that grace one upon another, Lord. Father, I pray that only things come out of our mouths would be gracious words, Lord. Father, I pray the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be upon us, Lord. And break the power of the lying, accusing demons. For it's grace that overcomes. It's the grace of Jesus that defeats. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. I say that again. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Lord, let the grace, revelation of grace come over our spirit. It's the thing that breaks the tyranny of sin. The mercy, for where sin abounds, hallelujah, grace much more abounds in our lives, Jesus. Oh, Lord, where sin abounds, your grace much more abounds, Father. We cannot give God, for it's your goodness that leads us to repentance, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. It leads us in the pathway of repentance. Father, it's when our heart melts, it's your mercy and kindness, Lord, that we finally say no to sin. Thank you for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, flow. Flow tonight. Every heart and every soul. Now be wise, folks. Amen? When there's been ministry, you need to put your armor on. Amen? The devil always counterattacks. And you just tell him where to go. You say, no, man, I'm going to keep this that God did in my life.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.